This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 215. I'm Chris Stafford, and on this week's episode, we're going to take a closer look at the Holkamp Turner Grant, part of the Young Event Horse program. Later on, we'll hear from Doug Payne, who is the recipient of the 2018 grant and currently preparing to go to Le Lion d'Angers for the championships. But we begin with Debbie Adams, whose horse D.A. Duras was the first recipient of the grant. So Debbie can tell us about the purpose of the grant and the success of it so far. Well, Debbie, welcome back to the programme.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be back, especially talking about something I enjoy so much.
I was going to say, this is a subject that's so dear to your heart. It's an easy conversation for you, isn't it? You're passionate about these young horses, and you've been so involved with bringing up young horses, obviously producing them. But primarily now we're going to talk about the Young Event Horse Committee and the success of the grant, really, because you were the first recipient of it way back when. Is that 3 or 4 years ago now? When was it you won that?
We won that in 2015. So we went over in October of that year. And I have to say, it was one of the best experiences that you could possibly give a young horse if you thought it has the ability to go on. I say that because it's such a difficult championship. I don't think people understand how difficult the two-star is in France compared to a regular two-star.
Yes, interesting, isn't it? Because I think if you've not been exposed to the European scene and the way they bring on their young horses and the standards over there, it might be a little bit of a culture shock. So was that the case for you then?
Well, actually, it wasn't a culture shock because I had lived over there for a short amount of time and I knew about Lyon. So when my horse received the grant, I read the FEI draft schedule. Each competition must submit a draft schedule, which basically says how the competition's being run. Speeds, heights, footing, course designer, all that. So I really studied that, and I studied the results of horses that had done it in previous years because I wanted the first American horse to do well. So I wanted to be prepped.
And how did that play out for you? Talk a little bit about the highlights of your experience over there with D.A. Duras.
Oh, I'd love to. The most interesting thing to me, and I think the most important thing for people to understand, is yes, it's a two-star in difficulty, and you do have your standards for heights and widths and questions, but the cross-country course is 10 minutes long. It's a championship course, so it's difficult. The normal CCI two-star is 8 minutes or 8 minutes, 15 seconds. So these horses run 2 minutes longer than they ever have before. So the Europeans consider it, and now I do too, quite the test to see if your horse can do a 10-minute course, which is what they have to do for three-star. Then on Sunday, they show jump higher than they would normally do at a two-star level. They jump advanced height show jumping because it's a championship. That's all FEI rules. And for them to go an extra 2 minutes and then jump several centimeters higher, it's quite a test for those horses.
Let's talk about the grant itself then, Deb, because obviously you're well familiar with it and what we're trying to produce here. Obviously a horse at championship level in Europe at that level. But the purpose of the grant and the success of the grant is someone who's on the committee and you've watched it evolve and what it's doing to produce these young horses, not just here, but also in Europe.
Well, I think it was really the foresight of Tim Holkamp and Chris Turner to come up with this grant. I didn't appreciate the impact of it until it actually happened. What they do is if it's an American bred horse, they get $17,500 towards the effort of the trip. If you buy a foreign bred horse like I did and produce it, you get half that amount. So you get just over $8,000 towards your effort of getting the horse to Europe. But it's well worth it. I mean, when you get over there and have the horse competing in one of the biggest competition that France holds all year, the crowd in itself is an experience for the horse. They get over 60,000 spectators on Saturday. They line the whole cross-country course. People picnic all day. They walk next to the course. They go from fence to fence. It's an educated crowd. So your horse is immersed in an atmosphere from day one of highly intense competition, people watching them, people close to them, bicycles. Even when you pull up over the last fence, there's a big grandstand, and it's full of people. The bleachers are absolutely full of people at the finish line, not even the last fence, and they cheer for every horse that finishes. So your horse gets quite used to activity, and you see how much they can focus, how distracting it is. Our horses aren't used to turning a corner and running to a crowd and then turning to a water jump. You know, it's quite an ordeal for them.
And obviously a wonderful experience, and this is something that any owner of a young horse would like to see on their CV, to have won this grant. Deb, what did it mean to you and to your horse's career?
Oh, it totally changed it. I mean, for me to think of taking horse to Europe, you have to figure, or this is what I was told, that it would cost me about $30,000 to take the horse on the trip. Now, I was able to do it a little bit cheaper, luckily, but to get that kind of money together for a 10-day trip is just mind-boggling. But because they believed in Doraz, and I believe in the whole development of the YEH program, I thought, well, if I'm going to get this kickstart, I will find a way to get the money. So that's a whole nother topic in itself, raising the money and finding the funds. But taking the horse there, it proved to us and to the rest of the eventing community that this horse is for real, that Doraz is for real. And if you look at the statistics from Lyon, 50% of the 7-year-olds go on to do 4 stars. Over half the horses do 4 stars. The year that Doraz ran there, horses that he competed against are out there being stars as well. Mr. Bass, Upsilon, and Chipmunk are all proving that the top horses just keep going.
And how have you really observed how this program has grown and evolved and matured really in the time it's been running? Debbie, talk a little bit about that and what it means to the American eventing community now to have this opportunity and the importance of it to develop horses up to that level on the world stage.
Well, I think that it's become quite apparent after Dee Doraz got the grant and people saw that it was possible. Then the next couple of years, the numbers grew huge in the 5-year-old section, because it's when the horses are at the 5-year-old championships is how they qualify for the whole Camp Turner grant. So if they do well in the 5-year-old championships, they are in running to get the grant. They still have to qualify, meet the international qualifications of doing a CIC 2-star, clean cross-country, clean show jumping. But it's become a huge goal for people. If you look this year, Doug Payne is taking his young horse over. He received the grant. And, I mean, he's excited. I've talked to him. He's planning it. It's a big deal to take our horses over, and everybody wants that opportunity, especially if you have an American-bred horse. That's quite a huge amount of money that would be paid for.
Let's look to the future of this then, obviously, because it's got some momentum now, but there are some changes that I think are emerging this fall. Do you want to speak to those, Debbie?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. I mean, the committee is always open to suggestions. We're interested in training and developing young horses. They don't have to be American horses. They just have to be horses that are in the pipeline to become top horses, hopefully to represent the U.S. So they changed the judging to make it easier for people to understand. So the judging now is more of a numerical system for the jumping. I think the dressage, most people understand, it's just potential. It's not like a regular dressage test where the horses have to be totally submissive and everything. Basically, the judge is looking at the horse like it's a shopping trip. Like, would I think that's a good horse, that it can develop a lengthening, that it's going to be a good quality canter for the upper levels? So the dressage part is potential, and that's numerical. But now the jumping, they've changed the system a little bit. And if people are interested in learning this system, actually Fair Hill is hosting the judges clinic again this year. But the judges clinic is open to auditors. You don't have to judge. You can just go learn a little bit on how it's judged. And that's run during the big Fair Hill 3-day in October. So they'll have a dressage portion and jumping portion if anybody wants to learn what the new numerical system is.
Okay. And how can they find out more information, Debbie, if they can't make it to Fair Hill?
The USCA website, like if you go onto the competitions and then go to Young Horses, it's quite extensive now on what is available to read to explain what they're judging, what they're trying to do, what you have to do to qualify. Like, I always try to qualify one of my young horses early in the season. And to qualify, you have to get 75% or higher in your dressage and jumping. In the championships, they also judge conformation. So you can look on the website and see the breakdown. Of course, the jumping is much more important than the dressage. So it's weighted much higher. The gallop has an individual score because, of course, our three-day horses have to be able to gallop. They're not just show jumpers. And I think people get a little too worried about the form, that their horse might not have the perfect, for lack of a better term, a hunter shape. But it's judged on a lot of things. It's their footwork, their lightness across the ground, their ease of effort jumping, the use of the neck, the shoulders. We're really looking for a triathlete.
And what would you say then to continue that point there, Debbie, to owners who are thinking maybe they'll, you know, try and qualify a horse, but they're not quite sure if their horse is going to be good enough, and, you know, how nice it would be to get involved with this program and to qualify. What would be your message to them?
Well, I've found for my young horses, some of them I've actually done a couple qualifiers just to give them the experience, because it's such a low pressure. You know, when you're sitting on these young horses that you don't want to have in a crowd of 40 warming up, it's a nice low pressure competition. So even if you don't think you have a 4-star horse, it's a good schooling experience. It's much quieter. You can just feel the atmosphere at the show. It's not intense. People aren't wound up. It's a schooling day for the horse, really, more than a competition day. They even let you go trot through the water, walk through the water before you do your jump round. So your horse isn't surprised by that. On the jumping course, you do 5 show jumps, and then you go right from your 5th show jump onto your cross country, where it's always 10 fences now since it's a numerical system. You can do dishes, water, small banks, combinations. They just want to see the horse's potential, what his footwork is, what his attitude is, how he handles it. They don't have to be polished and smooth. They just have to show that they're going to have ability to handle the task and learn.
Well, it certainly is a wonderful learning experience for a young horse, Debbie. So I want to thank you for coming on the program and explaining about the grant. And, of course, congratulations again. I know this meant a lot to you to win it when you did. And you've really put back into the sport with the Young Event Horse program by serving on the committee. So good luck with your new young horses. And we never know where we're going to see them out again, maybe becoming 4-star horses.
Well, I'm hoping so. You know, I've always got that young one in the barn. But I have to say, if anybody gets the chance to even go watch Leon, it's a fascinating competition. If you have the opportunity to compete, that's even better. But I would go watch it. It's just amazing to see 70 young horses go head-to-head that are all in the pipeline from their different countries, because they're all hoping to be four-star horses as well.
The stars of the future. Wonderful. Well,
absolutely.
Debbie, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the program. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
And joining me now is Doug Payne, who is the recipient of the 2018 Holcamp Turner Grant with his young horse, Quantum Leap. First of all, congratulations, Doug, on winning that grant.
Yeah, no, thank you very, very much. And, of course, got to thank the USEA and the Turner Holcamp group that was able to put this grant together, because it's a big honor and we're very excited about it.
Well, it is significant, isn't it, in a young horse's career now. The young event horse, the future event horse, is such a major part of the young event, literally the young event horse's development and their CV. To have this on his CV is very noteworthy, obviously. Let's talk about his story, Doug, and how you found this young horse, because you've had him a few years now.
Yeah, I've had him for, I guess, 67 this year, right? We bought him as a yearling from... He's bred by Elizabeth Callahan, Didi. She goes by, lives on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And we had a couple of years prior bought a horse called Lysander that he ended up going up through advanced. We had bought him as a 3-year-old and then spoke to Didi and she had some babies coming. So we bought Quantum as a yearling. And we now, we have actually two others that were by her, one 2-year-old and one 3-year-old at the moment. So 3-year-old this fall will get his start, so his name is Harry, and he'll be out shown in the spring. But yeah, Quantum's been with us for quite a while, and he's an exceptional talent. He's kind of always been a gangly, you know, baby type horse, and his flat work subsequently has been is decent, but it wasn't anything spectacular. And he's probably in the last 6 weeks, 2 months, starting to step into a new gear. So. He had a great outing and won the intermediate at Millbrook just a couple of weeks back. And I think it's just the very beginning of what could be his future.
I'm always curious, Doug, when you first set eyes on a horse, what it is that catches your eye. You know, is it their eye? You know, is it the way they move? Is it, you know, just the overall picture? What was it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, the overall picture, I don't know. It's one of those things, you get a feeling when you see him, and I'm not sure it's terribly easy to pinpoint exact components, but certainly I think having that kind eye, and frankly, I don't mind if they're a little bit of a punk, like just a little bit of an edge to it is a great thing, because I think when it's working for you, it's just a massive advantage. Quantum's always been, he's like a big puppy dog, basically, on the ground, and as far as other components or factors in picking babies, we tend to sort of head over towards Holsteiner Thoroughbred mixes. And he's by a horse called Quite Capital, a Holsteiner, and out of a Thoroughbred mare that Didi found off the track. And so I think he's got all of what it's going to take. He's nearly 80% blood on paper. But the Holsteiners, generally speaking, at least in our experience, very hard workers and good movers, good jumpers, and Quantum would be no different. Like he's a super jumper, really careful, he's just a very talented horse. So we're very lucky to have him. And I can't thank Susan and Dave Drillock, who've been along for the ride since he was 4. And without their help, he wouldn't be here. We would have had to stop.
And, of course, rideability is key, too. Presumably, you backed him yourself. You brought him along yourself. Talk a little bit about how his training has evolved. And when you got to competing him, did he start delivering what you thought was the promise that he made as a young horse?
Yeah, we did, you know, do all the work with these babies as they're coming. So from day one, we've done everything with him. I do make a huge effort early on to try and let them sort of find their way, and especially when it comes to jumping, just trying to figure out where their feet go. We do a lot of I would say, I don't know if it's just cross-country work, but certainly work out of the arena and a lot of footwork, you know, ground pulls and bounces and that sort of stuff pretty early on. And he's been one that is, he sort of locks on and tries his best to figure it out, and he's a quick learner. So there was always early on, you know, you had a feeling that potentially it's going to come all together one day. And the biggest limiting factor, I think, was on the flat. And it's just he's probably 17-1 maybe at this point, and sort of all legs, and they all go everywhere, you know. So it's, you know, they're just barely starting to come together into a cohesive unit. And I would say probably the last 6 weeks, 2 months, you know, sort of kicking into a new gear on the flat. And I think it's just the beginning.
Yeah, a big horse.
Yeah.
But then, you know, probably fits you quite well. And does he have a nice big stride?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm most comfortable, generally speaking, sort of 16.2 would be the smallest that I'm honestly comfortable going long term. But usually if they're sort of 16.3 to 17.2, that's really where I'm again most comfortable. I'm 6.3, so it does fit, and he does, yeah, big step and very soft feel to him. He goes all three phases in a snaffle, and you know, you're really honestly jumping, you hardly have to touch the reins. He's quite good.
And how does he cope with the occasions? Because he's going to be flying over to France now this fall, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, he is, and yeah, for sure it is. Two parts in our developmental process. We, you know, we certainly do event quite a bit, but our business actually is half show jumpers at this point. We've got sort of babies up to Grand Prix. We've got four Grand Prix horses going at the moment. And the big advantage there, and we bring the event horses along, especially when they're younger, is that the jumper shows tend to be a more chaotic environment. And I think there's just a massive advantage to taking all horses there, expose them to the circus that it might be. And pretty quickly they become comfortable in a chaotic environment. And so that becomes less of a factor than potentially the horses that we had 10 years ago. We pretty much were just eventing, maybe jumped every once in a while, but I think we certainly went to a lot more eventing competitions, but some of them certainly smaller scale. And I think when we got to the bigger stage, it was eye-opening. And the advantage we've got now with these babies going to the jumper stuff early is that they're just not terribly phased. This trip also, we've got another huge step up on things. We've got a horse called Getaway that has received a grant from the USCT Foundation to go over and compete at Buccalo in the Nations Cup. And that's in Holland, and it's a week prior to Quantum's competition in France. So Quantum's actually going to come with us to Buccalo. And so he'll spend actually a week in that's a massive stage there. So I think that's actually going to be a big, big help, is that we can be there. You can sort of settle and say, okay, this is what we're in for. And then when we get to France, hopefully it's, you know, just another day in the past couple of weeks.
You'll become quite the European then with all this jet setting.
Yeah, I mean, October, we're in Europe more than we're here. We're very lucky to have the horses coming along, and that's been our, Jess and I, that's been our strategy, and it's a lot of fun because it's just starting to kick in. But Quantum was the first horse that we bought as a yearling. We've been trying to do at least a yearling a year ever since. So we've got a sort of a backfill, a pipeline of horses coming along, and obviously there's always an influx of others, you know, to coming along. But our goal is obviously to keep a well-stocked supply coming along and see what we can, you know, see what we can do with them. But this is a great start for sure.
Well, you've had your wins with him already, as you said. At what point, though, Doug, did you think this was a keeper? There comes a time, doesn't there, when you think, yeah, I'm going to hold on to this one.
Yeah, I think I would tend to think when they're sort of four coming five, I think we can get a really good feel for where they're at. And we're lucky enough to have ridden a whole ton of babies. So you've got a pretty good reference point of where they were at the time and where that sort of, you can kind of extrapolate what might happen in the future. Obviously no guarantees, but what we've been trying to do over time is find you know, some sort of partner that can go in with these horses, and the ultimate goal is see how far they can go. And honestly, if they, for whatever reason, if there's a limiting factor, then, you know, then potentially we'd end up moving them on. But the great thing at that point is that they're at the right stage in their career, and they're, you know, they're well started, have a great record, and then would really serve their next owner really well. And, you know, that's kind of the goal that we've had is to keep going until, for whatever reason, there might be some reason not to. And then hopefully if we do need to sell, or frankly, if we had a horse, Crown Talisman, that ended up one of the major factors in our ability to buy and build a farm up in North Carolina, you know, it was just the money, you couldn't turn it down. And so, you know, it's a reality of life as it is. I would have loved to have kept them, but at the same time, it was life-changing money for us. So, you know, that's then, it's an option for you. And we could take that and then invest in the future and hopefully do it all over again.
And do you look at a horse in the same way, whether it's going to be 4-star potential or that it's going to have a potential that is marketable then? I'm thinking of where this would fit into your program.
Yeah, for sure. We go 4-star first, for sure. You know, we actually buy most of these, the young horses or the babies that we're buying, they're basically bred to jump and would have enough thoroughbred that hopefully they could event. And we do have, because we're split between the jumping and eventing, we, you know, if their forte sort of would lead them more towards jumping, you know, we're more than happy to do that as well. We've got one horse owned by Jane Jadinsky, a horse called Quintessence, that he went up actually all the way up through prelim and was very successful. His last event, I think he heard it before. He was so careful. He would never touch a thing. And now he's gone on. He is 7 also. He's gone on. He won the 6-year-old jumping finals last year, and he just did his first Grand Prix last week or 2 weeks ago. So it's we're lucky to have an avenue or a path that really could suit the type and wherever the horses are going to be best suited, happiest, and most successful, that's where we're going to aim them towards.
And have you been to Leon before, Doug?
I have not. I am looking forward to it. I hear that cross-country course is a work of art. That's what I've been told.
I know it's a true test for a young horse, and obviously will add to his CV. So this must be very special for you to have won this.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great to return. We were lucky enough a bunch of years back to go to Samira, which is kind of right in that, roughly in the same area as France, and we actually, you know, absolutely loved it. Nothing better than the French food. It's awesome.
Well, congratulations again, Doug, and have a wonderful trip over to Europe.
Yeah, no, thank you very much.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to have a fun October there traveling these young horses.
Yeah, no, we're really looking forward to it. We, you know, can't wait.
Super. Well, thanks for taking the time to come on the program, and good luck to you.
Yeah, thank you again.
And you can find out much more about the grant by going to the website at useventing.com. And that's it for this week's episode. Remember, you can download this episode and take it with you on the go by going to iTunes or any podcast app. Be sure to follow us on social media at US Eventing to hear when the next episode is available. And that, of course, is one of the best ways to keep up to date with all the latest news from the US Eventing Association, or visit the website at useventing.com. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.